The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome again to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are very glad that you've tuned in today as we are in Romans 9. Ken and Catherine are right in the middle of presenting their Survey of Romans series. And today this passage about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Was this part of God's predestination of Pharaoh? By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information and to register, go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including how to contact us for more about the seminary. That's faithalone.org. And find seminary in our navigation menu. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. With today's discussion, here are Ken and Catherine.
And it's great to have you here again as we are working our way through the section in Romans, Romans 9, 10, 11, where Paul is talking about what's going on with the nation of Israel.
Yeah, and one of the things that we said in our introduction to this unit is that chapter 9 is dealing with Israel's past. Chapter 10 will be looking at their current state while Paul is writing, and then chapter 11 will be seeing their future. But right now we're still looking at their history, their past, right?
And we've looked at how God chose Isaac over Ishmael and Jacob over Esau. And in both cases, we see this is not talking about choosing them for salvation, but choosing them to be the vessel through whom the world will receive the Christ, the birthright.
But now we're going to be talking about Pharaoh.
Yes, and Pharaoh is another example where people say, oh, what Paul says in Romans 9, just like with Isaac and just like with Jacob, he picks people to go to heaven and other people to go to hell. But that's not the case. The other thing we would say, that just as Isaac and Jacob represented the nation as a whole, we could say that Pharaoh is the same thing, that
he's their leader.
He's the leader of the nation of Egypt. Egypt was impacted by the plagues that hit, for example. And that's not to say that there were not believers in the nation of Egypt. By the way, there's a great book at GES, Chosen to Serve, that argues this same thing, that election here in Romans is not election to eternal life, but election to a purpose of God or to serve God.
Yeah.
You know, you may have been chosen to be a king or chosen to be a prophet.
Sometimes individuals are chosen for specific jobs like apostles, but then as we're arguing in this passage, sometimes nations are chosen for specific things, like Israel is the chosen nation, which was comprised of both believers and unbelievers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here we're talking about Pharaoh. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 9, Paul says, God will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. Again, people look at that and say the mercy and compassion there is talking about, okay, God says, I have mercy on this person, so I'm going to choose them to go to heaven. But that's not the case. And in this section, he talks about Pharaoh. In Exodus, and here in Romans chapter 9, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What is the significance of that? Again, there will be many who will say, well, that means that God hardened his heart and Pharaoh couldn't believe, and therefore Pharaoh is going to be in hell. That God did not choose him to be in the kingdom of God.
When you look at the Exodus account, what you find is that first Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Exactly.
The Lord was giving him opportunities, but he was not willing and he rejected it himself. So there is free will on Pharaoh's part. He had the option to listen to the messenger of God, but he said no.
Yes, God hardened his heart. We might even say Romans 1.
Yeah. You know, when you look at Romans 1 and God is revealing his invisible attributes to the world through creation and through the moral law, it says that people are without excuse.
They repress the truth.
They repress the truth, and therefore he turns them over to that. He gives them up to that. And so it is the initial step is that you suppress it. And
you harden your heart to what is right before your eyes.
And isn't that a perfect picture of the nation of Israel? God, you know, sent Christ to them, sent the prophets to them, sent John the Baptist, gave them every opportunity, and yet, you know, the Lord says they were unwilling.
That's right.
They were unwilling, Luke 13. And so it's a perfect example of what happened to the nation of Israel. They had the opportunity. They were exposed to the truth, but they rejected it. And then therefore God turned them over.
They hardened their own hearts and then God turned them over. And that would be how God hardens their heart. It's interesting that in Mark, Jesus says to the disciples, are your hearts hardened? You can do that to yourself. And that's obviously what the case is with Pharaoh. It has nothing to do with, okay, before Pharaoh was born, God said, okay, you're going to go to hell. But it says in verses 17 and 18, God did this in order to demonstrate his power. I think this is very important for Paul's argument in chapter 9. When Pharaoh hardens his heart, and then God is involved in hardening his heart, it demonstrated the power of God by the plagues, but also in bringing his people out of Egypt. Pharaoh was the vessel by which God manifested his strength. I mean, just look at it. With his outstretched mighty arm, he brought his people out, parted the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army, took them to Mount Sinai, led them through the nation, fed them with manna, miraculously gave them water and quail, and on and on and on, God defeating their enemies on the way to the Promised Land. So Pharaoh was an instrument by which God demonstrated his power. And the reason I bring that up is in Romans 9 here, the last part, it seems to me that what Paul is saying is that's what Israel is. Mm-hmm. Israel has hardened their heart, and it has manifested God's power and mercy and compassion in that now he has gone to the Gentiles.
Is there also a parallel in as Pharaoh hardened his heart, he now was under the wrath of God, and we see that through the plagues, and so also Israel is now under the wrath of God, looking to 70 AD in particular.
Yes, and Paul's going to, I believe, say that in a verse that's coming up in verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that. In verse 22, Paul writes, but who can object if God, because he wishes to demonstrate his wrath and make known his power, has borne with great patience the vessels of wrath fitted for ruin. The question here is, who are these vessels of wrath, and what is this wrath? Mm-hmm. What did Pharaoh experience when he hardened his heart? He experienced the temporal wrath of God.
And his people.
Right, and his people.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Romans 1, what is Paul talking about when they, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, who suppressed the truth? We would say, in this context, who hardened their heart. Unbelieving Israel, when they hardened their heart, they suppressed the truth. As you mentioned, the truth that was right before their eyes in the teachings and the healing ministry of Christ, they hardened their hearts, and now they're under the wrath of God. But again, obviously that's not the lake of fire, when we've argued that all along throughout the book of Romans.
This is a present day consequence for sin. That's what we've been arguing.
The unbelieving nation of Israel is under the wrath of God while Paul is writing this. And what would it mean then, this destruction? He's being patient with them. The destruction hasn't come yet, but what would that destruction be? You know, it's interesting in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he's talking about the Jewish people, and he says in verse 15, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. Now watch what he says. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. And here it is. So as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. There's another example where wrath for Paul is not hell, but the wrath that the person who suppresses the truth experiences. And in the case of Pharaoh, look what happened to his nation.
Yeah.
And in the case of the nation of Israel, they are walking in darkness in their sins. They're reaping all that that brings. And as you mentioned, AD 70 is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful here in Romans 9 that Paul says that this wrath on the nation of Israel, this hardening on the part of Israel, allows God to demonstrate his power by bringing both Jews and Gentiles to faith. He talks about this in Romans chapter 9 as well. He mentions that Gentiles now are the recipients of God's mercy and compassion. He says that in verse 24. Well, I'll read verses 23 and 24. God wishes to make known the wealth of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. That is, upon us, whom in fact he has called, not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. And therefore, God's power is manifested in the disobedience and the lack of faith of the nation of Israel. And it's now not the nation of Israel, it's this new entity, the church, through which God is working. And Paul's going to say in chapter 11, who could have seen this? How great is God's wisdom and power in what he's doing? And hopefully no one listening to this will walk away saying, God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell before they're born. I hope no one walks away from these podcasts thinking that. Thank you for listening. And remember, keep grace in focus.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. First year Greek starts week of August the 6th. Many other classes start the week of August the 20th. Go to our website, faithalone.org. You will find there a tab for seminary in our navigation menu. Everything you need is right there, including professors, application deadlines, class schedules, and how to contact us for more about the seminary. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, that's faithalone.org and find seminary in our navigation menu. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next edition, more about Romans 10 and the Romans Road. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.